Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and after being absent for a couple weeks, I'm happy to be back with you for another lively discussion. Before we get into our topic this evening, let me welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Delia.
So, Raymond, how are you?
I am well, thanks. It's cold outside. But I'm
yeah.
Well.
And that's the typical question that's posed, you know, when one wants to know how the other person is doing. Our topic this evening is mental wellness. What does that mean? What does that look like? Because it's easy to tell when somebody's mentally distressed, would you say?
Yeah.
It's relatively easy.
Yeah.
Tell when somebody's mentally distressed. Not so easy to tell when, if someone is well.
True.
Right? Because, I mean, you know, I found something, some literature that said that there's not a lot of definition for what mental wellness is. Instead, we define the absence of it. Right? And that's, I think, how we think about it as well, is that we think about not what mental health and emotional wellness is, but what it isn't.
Hmm.
So when you're not well, people can typically say, not well. But when you are well...
Well, is it just because then it's not would be considered, for want of a better word, normal, and anything other than what's considered normal would be noticed. It's as if the only time your mental wellness or health is coming into question, or even in topic of conversation, is when there's absence of wellness.
Ah, but should that be the case? Because that's exactly the point, is that the only time we consider mental wellness, we don't celebrate it. We mourn the absence of it.
But doesn't that? Do you think people do the same, or is it different for physical wellness?
But and again, it goes back to the stigma that's associated with mental health.
Okay.
All right. And this is, you know, the whole point of having this program is to challenge some of these stigmas. It's to really tackle this topic of mental health. And so, yeah, if you're well, people can typically see, well, okay, she seems well.
Okay.
If you're unwell, chances are it shows too. You know, you might be green around the gills. You might be limping.
Right.
You know, there might be other things happening
right.
that show that you are not well.
Right.
And so...
Right, because, I mean, I think, you know, if you're physically unwell and you're, you know, let's just go with obvious symptoms. You know, if you are wheezing, difficulty breathing, obviously a fracture or in severe pain, limping, dragging one, you know, those type of things, you know, someone might say, how are you doing? And you say, oh, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong. But it's evident that it's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... So therefore, you know that that person is unwell and not being, you know, in touch with
what's going on.
But does mental wellness or unwellness take a different spin? It's like having a headache. I have to believe you that you have a headache. I can't, and there's no way to prove. that you have one. So, like, you know, people might say, well, how you're behaving, you're well, or they might assume you're well.
You know, there's so many people, though, Raymond, who have varying levels of mental needs, mental health needs, right? So, you know, we talk mainly about depression and anxiety,
right?
And we all go through it, but it's so easily camouflaged.
Absolutely.
And so, therefore, you might be unwell with any number of mental health conditions.
Right.
But because it's easily camouflaged, and like you say, you know, wear it like a flag.
Right.
So, you know, but what does mental wellness, how does that look? What does that feel like? And, you know, how do we deal with it?
I think it would take a whole different look at or how you assess. Because, for me personally, I've never thought of myself as being mentally well. I would assume others as well. I am mentally well. I feel as I'm in a good place. You know, because that's not
how we look.
At this moment, I have never given it
any
thought.
Yeah. And most people don't.
Yeah.
We don't think about, okay, you know, how do I promote or what factors influence my mental wellness?
Right.
All right. And we look at, for example, biological factors can influence your mental wellness, and environmental or social factors can also influence your level of mental wellness. You know, so depending on the experiences that you've had, depending on what else is going on and your genetic makeup, all those things can influence whether you're well or unwell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you promote it, though? How do you promote this idea or protect this idea of mental wellness?
Hmm.
You know, what are some of the things that you can do? The first one that comes to mind is sleep.
You think people put sleep in context with mental wellness?
No.
I don't. I didn't.
Ah, but it does.
I'm sure.
Because
if you give it enough thought.
Yeah, because to promote the idea of mental wellness, if you're physically a specimen, in perfect physical, like you, my darling.
Thank you so much.
And you're in physically great condition.
Yeah.
And I put you to the test of no sleep for a sustained period of time,
right,
what will happen to your mental health? Right? So sleep again, and we talked about sleep.
You're right. Because, think about this, if you haven't slept, and we've all been there for different reasons, for whatever reason, you've had less sleep than you normally do or should, but we don't see it. We don't acknowledge it in terms of how it actually does. We might say, I am moody. It affects my mood or how I feel.
Most people don't even associate it with their mood. They don't.
But I'm just saying, at best.
They don't say, I am tired.
I am tired.
Usually a line.
Right, I am tired.
Yeah.
Right? Or if something, or if you're responding in a way that people look at you as, you know, whatever. It's not associated as your mental status.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't connect. Because probably if we did, we would look at it differently.
You know, so definitely sleep is one of them. Nutrition, good food, good eating well.
Well, to be hungry and not sleeping is a dangerous combination.
Yeah, but even if you're sleeping, because sometimes when you're hungry or you're sad or depressed, you might be sleeping a lot,
right?
But not eating anything,
right?
And how that can impact your state of emotional wellness and mental wellness.
So that's not just cranky and being...
We could label it like that.
Oh.
We could. We could say, oh, that person is just cranky.
Okay.
But it does impact, you know, how you feed your physical body. Because it's going to break down. So if if your body's going to break down physically, emotionally, mentally, you're going to break down as well if you don't eat properly. You know? So I think it's really important. And even if you're eating and you're not eating, you know, you're not feeding. Yeah, you're not I hesitate to say the right thing. But
quality.
Healthy
quality.
Yeah.
Food.
then, you know, that's definitely going to impact how you, you know, how you process. The other thing is, and, you know, maybe some more than others, but physical activity, the level of physical activity that you engage in, you know, impacts how you feel about yourself, how impacts your state of wellness, your state of emotional wellness.
I guess when we look at these things, well, just for the three that you have mentioned thus far, and maybe not so much sleep mentioned, but, you know, proper nutritional intake, exercise, you know, those things talk about, you know, healthy living, right? Living a healthy lifestyle, being well-rounded, eating well, exercising in moderation, you know, lowering your, you know, your fat index and this and that and all, you know, your waist to this, to that, to that. But by your definition, by extension, your mental wellness is also benefiting as well.
Well, absolutely.
But again, we don't put that in the same bucket.
We don't.
You turn on the television any day, they're talking about eating this, exercising this, doing this workout, doing that, because of your physical health. Not necessarily for your mental health.
Because you know what, Raymond? I think in my mind, you cannot separate the two. You know, if you, because there is no health without mental health. There is no wellness without mental wellness. And so, you know, the other thing that I think that we need is that, like, a positive attitude.
Yeah, and I think you're right, but we don't put that in the same context. There's not enough focus, I think, on mental health and mental wellness. If the same things that are being promoted for physical health would start being connected, the dots being connected by circumstance of things, by treating your body and your physical health, you will also improve or maintain good mental health. That needs to be advocated for.
One item that I know everybody associates with their mental health is stress, though. Right? Automatically. It's just an automatic association. Okay, if I am stressed, I know that it's affecting my mind.
Okay.
Right? Most people make that association. Would you agree?
I agree.
And so that's one of the things to promote mental wellness. You need to reduce your level or control your level of stress.
Boy, I have a bit of an odd take on that.
Okay.
Reason being, I feel as if sometimes folks wear that with a bit of a badge of honor.
What do you mean? They're stressed?
Yes.
What do you mean?
It means that circumstances, meaning, you know, I am affected by the stress in my life because of all the things that are happening in my life. And, you know, just tell me, like, you wouldn't understand. Like, folks are quick to tell folks, you wouldn't understand what's going on, you know, because I have to deal with these things. I have to work hard and, you know, I have all these other responsibilities. So, therefore, it's somewhat of a badge of honor. And, therefore, the stress that go along with it, the way I behave, you ought to understand if only you understood the things I have to deal with.
Mm.
Rather than, you know, trying somehow to figure out how to relieve oneself of the stress or to deal with it. Sometimes the stress meaning talking to people or talking to someone about it or whatever it might. But you have to understand that this is a stress that I don't have to keep. I can somehow
manage.
Then,
that
right,
stress is something that
can
be
managed. Precisely. Good point. But I think, I mean, some people just, it's not about managing it. It's almost as if keeping it.
You know, Raymond, I don't know if I agree with that. I find it difficult to think that somebody would want to hold on to this sense of discomfort that's usually generated by stress. Because stress does not feel good.
Well,
even though some stress can be motivating and can be helpful, but typically speaking, when somebody is experiencing stress, they are not feeling good. They're not feeling comfortable.
Okay. Like a pebble in your shoe.
Yeah. So I find, you know, I am inclined to believe that when somebody is stressed, that they want it relieved. That's what they're trying to do. Sometimes it may be counterintuitive what they do, because they might engage in unhealthy coping mechanisms to relieve the stress, smoking, substance use, alcohol, whatever, but it's in an effort to try to alleviate the stress.
Okay.
You know? And so I think it's really important, you know, but that people get the point that stress is something that can be managed. It definitely can
right,
be managed.
Right, and I agree with that. I think the idea of coming across of saying, whatever I'm feeling, whatever stress, whatever source of anxiety or whatever makes me feel the way I feel, it can be managed. It can be dealt with, rather than it shall pass or it is just here to stay. As if it's here, it's visiting, and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
You know. And maybe probably part of that is saying, well, somebody might know that something is wrong.
Yeah.
Someone might know or feel as if something is wrong, so therefore I say nothing.
You know, and you're right. I mean, some people may have this idea, and I guess depending on which era they belong to, they might have this idea that, you know what? You know, I mean, I need to tough it out. I need to, you know, I need to go through it, right? I need to experience the stress and really go through this, you know, the stress. So some people do have that. Some people do have that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also important to understand that, you know, depending on how it's feeling to you,
mm-hmm.
You know, depending on how the experience is feeling to you, you know, that helps with the understanding that that you don't have to, like, you know, muscle through it.
Yeah, you don't have to go at it. You don't have to go
you
it alone.
You know, you don't have to go through that, take that approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about it is when you think about mental wellness, right,
mm-hmm.
Raymond, like you said, we don't typically think about it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
People don't usually think. They think of mental health. So either you're mentally ill or you're not.
Right.
You understand me?
Right.
You're
right.
Mentally ill or you're not.
Right.
But mental wellness, which
right.
is a different perspective, because it's the level of wellness. I would subscribe to say that all of us, because of stress, loss, trauma, substance, illness,
mm-hmm.
have some level of mental illness.
Right. Yeah,
right?
I agree.
So, and genetics too.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, depending on what's going on
mm-hmm.
at the time,
yeah.
in the moment,
yeah.
is how you manage it, right?
Yeah.
So, you might engage in unhealthy behaviors or, you know, or you might, which is maybe some level of
we
mental.
Don't see it for that. Though.
No, we don't.
I mean, for example, I was just thinking as you were talking about, for example, this whole road rage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's, you know, you go home and you tell the story how you, you know, someone cut you off and how you did that. It's not seen as being mentally unwell.
Right, in that moment.
In that moment.
Right, in that moment. Okay.
You'll actually even justify your action. Can you believe that they da-da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. You know, but those are like the things that happen every day.
All right. So, you know, and that's a really good point, because the criteria for emotional maturity, as defined by the Menninger, by William C. Menninger, right, is one, the first criteria is the ability to deal constructively with reality. The ability to deal constructively with reality. Right? So, you're right. Is it emotionally mature to, for somebody to cut you off and then for you to chase them down the highway
mm-hmm.
to across them, right? Another criteria, the capacity to adapt to change. A lot of us can't adapt to change. It's difficult.
This is emotional
maturity. Maturity, yeah. A relative freedom, which I think to be emotionally mature would
well.
Suggest that you're emotionally and mentally well, right? A relative freedom from symptoms that are produced by tensions and anxieties. So So our relative freedom. So we all experience tension. We all experience anxiety and depression about depending on what's going on. So, but, you know, how long do we stay there, right? The capacity to find more satisfaction in giving than in receiving. The capacity to relate to other people in a consistent manner with mutual satisfaction and helpfulness. The capacity to sublimate, to direct one's instinctive, hostile energy into creative and constructive outlets. To direct one's instinctive, hostile energy into creative and constructive outlets. And you know what? That's an important one, I think, you know. You know, in Jamaica, they talk about bad mind people. You talk about wicked people. And you wonder, yeah, what kind of unwellness is that? That some people just have this really way about them that is just, that they can't see good in anything. You know? And then the last one is the capacity to love as a state of mental wellness, you know, mental maturity. It's a capacity to love. Yeah.
So I find that one interesting. Capacity to love.
You don't think that's an important one?
No, I'm just wondering because a lot of times, I'm just going at it from a layperson in that sense. The capacity to love and being able to, you had to have learned that from someone. You had to have experienced that feeling, I think, from someone, yeah?
Yeah.
So I think your capacity to love is affected by those who have shown you love, you know, who have. But I can see where you are deprived of it and you don't have the ability, you know, to share in that, where that definitely affects you mentally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and affects how you function in your life.
Yeah,
so if we were to define mental wellness, we would say, we could say, for example, it's a state of emotional and psychological well-being in which an individual is able to use his or her cognitive and emotional capabilities to function in society and to meet the and to deal with the ordinary demands and stresses of everyday life, right? So you can make a fruitful contribution to the world. You know.
I was thinking when you were talking about physical health and you know you go to the doctor for a cold or just your annual checkup. How often is that doctor asking you about your mental state of being?
Yeah.
How is that going? How are you doing mentally and emotionally?
And so most people don't get that. They don't
get
a mental checkup.
So basically, when you go to a mental health professional,
it's
because
usually you're ill. Something has triggered it.
Right. Not to maintain good health.
No, but every year you go and you get a physical.
Exactly. Or, I mean, for women, you're going to the doctor every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, between your primary care physician, I mean, this is all in an ideal.
Right, and your OBGYN.
You're suggested. The dentist, you go twice a year.
Yeah.
But the only time you go to see a mental health professional or your mental health is called into being is when you are unwell.
Yeah.
So the medical profession does not cater to fostering mental wellness.
No, because the model that exists, which promotes the stigma that exists, is that of deficit. You see it as something wrong. So rather than promoting it as this idea of, okay, we are well and how do we promote wellness? How do you maintain wellness? What does wellness look like? What does wellness sound like and feel like? And how do you kind of kick in to see what the level of wellness is?
Right.
That does not happen because, again, we're dealing with the stigma that exists in mental health. You know, which is a significant stigma.
I wonder where the change. I wonder what turns that shift.
I think conversations like this, Raymond.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's so easy. I mean, your doctor is feeding through and trying to figure out, taking your temperature, taking your blood pressure, taking bloods, all these other standard checkoff lists that he's running through, right?
Yeah, your A1C, your BMI.
Right.
He's
going through that. But at no point is your emotional and mental health. I've never been asked that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I'm a good patient. I think I go to my doctor often and regularly enough. And I've never, ever been asked about my mental status.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. That's because, you know, because I think we can shift the conversation by promoting this idea of emotional and mental wellness and saying that it is something that is impacted by all these other factors that we just talked about, stress and physical activity, and sleep, and eating, and, you know.
You're right. Because, I mean, the reason for you being at your doctor's office for, you know, you're having indigestion, you're having high blood pressure, you're having all these other symptoms, but the underlying factor
may be mental health.
Right. So he's going to give you medication to make the headache go away or lower the blood pressure, but the source of the issue is never addressed.
And rarely, rarely are people referred from their primary care physician to a mental health specialist. It's usually when they are at wit's end and they say, can't find anything wrong. All the tests come back negative, and they say, well, it's in your head.
Or something, seriously, you become...
You're unhinged, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And then it's not about the high blood pressure anymore. And now it's about containing this thing that was there all along and bubbling and festering and not being addressed.
Yeah.
Which could have been, it would have been a win-win where you address the mental illness or unwellness, which is also by extension addressing the high blood pressure, the anxiety, the indigestion, the whatever. So I think you're right. I mean, more conversations about mental wellness as a whole person being treated and being considered would be promoted.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think, you know, and so we hope that this is the start of it, right? That we want people to start to think about, you know, how am I doing emotionally and mentally? What's, you know, where am I on that scale of wellness? You know, where one is not
like
so good and 10 is great. Where am I? What number would I give myself if I scored myself today? What number would I give
myself?
Right,
even though I know I'm at the right weight, my BMI is fantastic.
My blood pressure is great.
Yeah.
But how am I doing from an emotional, mental health perspective? And
to
think about it as a holistic approach to wellness.
Right.
So I hope that our listeners will consider that. I hope that they will think about it. Yeah, where am I on that scale? Am I a 1 or am I a 10? Or am I somewhere in between? And wherever you are, where do you want to be? Do you want to be a 10? How do you get there? What would a 10 look like for you? So I think that these are, you know, really, you know, I mean, important questions to consider. But I really want folks to start to focus on their mental wellness. And when you someone asks, how are you doing, to think about it in that way. To think about, well, yeah, well, I don't hurt, I'm not bleeding. How am I doing emotionally? You know, consider that. So.
Well, there's a trick to that piece, though. I mean, where people, it goes back to the stigma. Oh, yeah, my blood pressure is a little high, or my leg or my arthritis is acting up. It's easy for people to share that information. But to ask them to say, you know what? Best mental self. That, you know.
That's difficult.
That's difficult.
Well, but that's how we start. One at a time, we'll start to challenge the stigma. So, you know, be emotionally and mentally well. Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.